beginning to sound a lot like Christmas here in Oklahoma today. We are back live, recorded on a series of ones and zeros at the Vault 405 in downtown Edmond. Today on the podcast, we are talking with author Dan Short, who has written the Santa Claus Chronicles, heartwarming tales from a real-life Santa, available at all of your local bookstores and some of your non-local bookstores. But before we get into that, the Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on. Pardon me. For consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
They're great.
They are.
They're awesome.
You say it every time, and every time you're right.
It bears repeating. So today we're talking to Dan Short. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
So you've written a book, and it's called The Santa Claus Chronicles. Tell us about how this book came about.
Well, I've been Santa officially for about 22 years, almost 30 if you count the times that I was just Santa for the kids or the hospital or whatever.
Yeah.
When I began at a big mall in Iowa City, we're pretty well prepared at Santa school for about a week for almost every...
There's an actual Santa school.
Oh, there are many. Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
What do you learn in Santa school?
You learn how to keep your patience. That's the first thing. You learn things like hygiene and diplomacy. And,
I imagine that's correct.
And how to deal with folks who are different in various ways, handicaps and people who are either not sighted or don't have hearing. You learn costuming, and you learn relationship building, and listening is probably the most important thing. So I thought I was pretty well prepared, but I was pretty apprehensive that I might mess up some child's life forever by saying the wrong thing or not saying the right thing. But that first season was just rich with unexpected kinds of experiences, and then that's continued every year. So after the first year, many of my friends here got together about a week after Christmas and said, "We want you to come and sit in a rocking chair and tell us your stories from your first year." Literally 2 hours later, I still had more stories.
Wow.
They wanted more, but I was so exhausted from that first year that I literally couldn't even keep my eyes open there. So from then on, the stories that were notable, I just started jotting reminder notes about them and thought, maybe I ought to write this in a compilation of stories. And then 10 years ago, I wrote the first couple, and then it took the rest of that time to get me from being Santa to writing the book. I had some hesitation about writing the book that was more personal than anything else. But anyway, so that's how it came about. If it weren't for the encouragement and urging and even intervention of some of my writer friends, I don't think the book would have existed at all.
Wow.
But my co-writer, Renee Gutteridge, who is a prolific and excellent writer, 30 years she's been writing and has many books and movies and other accolades to her credit, was one of the very close writers who sort of confronted me a few years ago and said, "When are you going to do this? Yeah. It's time to do this." So
that's awesome. So what kind of stories do we have here?
Well,
because I imagine that it runs the gamut, the experience.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, humanity is reflected throughout these. The stories in this book, some of them are about and with children, some of them are about and with parents, and some of them are about folks that I just encountered that didn't necessarily have any expected relationship to Santa. There are stories, there are sad stories, poignant stories, very funny stories, and miraculous stories even. So,
wow. What's one of your favorite, just personal, funny experiences as Santa?
It was my first year.
Okay.
I was still apprehensive about doing things well, but I was well into the season. It was just a few weeks before Christmas, and I was sort of confident that I had gotten that far. You know, in an 8-week stint, you get through 6 weeks and you think, well, maybe I can do this. And I don't think I've ruined anybody yet. So I was a little bit confident and comfortable, really, is probably better. The mall and the bookstore, Barnes & Noble, had sponsored a Wednesdays with Santa reading time. And they set it an hour before I normally came into the mall so that moms with little ones could be in line first and not have to wait an hour and a half or 2 hours with the little wigglers. So this was the final, the fifth Wednesday morning's Stories with Santa, and they'd have milk and cookies. And two elves from Barnes & Noble would read the stories, and then I would show up at 10, and they would be first in line. So this line formed about 20 little folks and their parents, their moms usually. And I would reach to my right, lean down, reach to my right to pick up the next child, and then after we had talked and I'd learned what they wanted for Christmas, I'd deposit them to my left and then kind of swing back. And on one swing back, I'm looking down and I'm seeing these two little naked feet. And then I looked up and no pants, no underwear, no shirt except for a parka that was open. A 4-year-old little guy.
Oh no.
And I'm going, oh my word. Now, don't lose it. He's here to see you. Just try to, you know, maintain your composure, smile. But things are going through my mind like, is there a hidden camera somewhere?
Oh my gosh,
is somebody setting me up? Or where is his mother? I could not see any.
That was my first
mother
question, yeah.
Nearby. And then, of course, what do I do? I don't want to embarrass him. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Well, I guess I'll reach for him because he was standing there just oblivious to his
things they don't
clothes.
Teach you in Santa school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's part of what went through my mind was we did not cover this.
Oh my
God. So I lifted him up and I thought about my $3,000 custom-made Santa suit and wondered, oh, what risk I was taking.
Oh, no.
I put him on my lap, and I tried with one hand to kind of button or latch his coat. It was one of those parkas that, like a car coat, you have the four buttons in the front and then a zipper. Well, I couldn't deal with the zipper because it was just too cumbersome. But anyway, I tried to pull him together with a modicum of decency. And I said, did you enjoy the milk and cookies today? And he said, yes. I said, what's your name? He said, Terry. I said, how old are you? And he said, 4. He said, I like chocolate chip. I said, oh, wow, that's great. So I'm scanning now, looking for mom, and I still haven't seen her. And so I begin to ask him what he wants for Christmas. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see this woman on her knees scurrying towards another little one, about 2-year-old, in the same kind of coat. So I'm figuring that's got to be her.
Mm-hmm.
About the time I made contact with her face and eyes, she made contact with me, and then she looked at her son on my lap already. She turned shades of crimson and just kind of ran over on her knees, scooted over on her knees, and said, "Oh, Santa, I am so sorry." I leaned over and I said, "Mom, were you in a little bit of a hurry this morning?" She said, "Oh, Santa, you will not believe it." She said, "This has been the morning." I said, "Well, I can't wait to hear about it." So I finish up with Terry, and she's there now with the other one. And I gave her a hug, and I said, "Tell me the story." She said, "Well," she said, "I had promised my boys that we would go to Santa stories every week. The first week, I said, we need to go to that. And then something would always come up, and this is the last week, and I was determined to keep my promise." She said, our farm is 45 minutes away. So I got them up early, we got all dressed and fed, and she said, "We're on our way, and about halfway here to Iowa City, Terry had a wicked accident." Wicked accident. And she said, "I actually had to make the decision whether to go back and clean up and then miss it all or forge ahead." And she said, "I had promised and they were wanting it. So I thought, well, I can always get some clothes, you know, at Penny's or Sears or wherever." So she said, "That's what we did." And she said, I got to the ladies' room, we got him, you know, undressed, and there was not one stitch of clothes except for the parka. Not even his shoes could be used. Said, "I washed them as best I could, but it was just a mess." She said, "So I cleaned him up as much as I could," and she said, I held him up to the wall dryer to dry him off. Just, can you imagine that? The picture of that just is so funny to me. And she said, "And then I used some paper towels to finish up." And she said, "Then we were ready to go get some clothes. And as I got into the mall, I realized the mall did not open for another hour."
Oh, no.
So I could not buy any clothes. But we had the parka, she said. So I zipped him up, and he enjoyed the story time and the cookies and milk. And
well, good.
Yes.
And now he has a story that I'm sure his parents tell every single Christmas.
Terry's prom date. Yeah. That story.
Yeah, Terry's probably married by now. and it follows him everywhere.
I'm sure.
That's still, he might be married by now, but I promise you, that guy just occasionally is like, "You know what? I'm just going to wear a parka."
There you go.
Just a parka, because sometimes it just feels right.
That's exactly right.
Just Donald ducking it around.
That's awesome.
Well.
So I gave her a big hug, and I said, "I think you ought to get the Mother of the Year Award."
She definitely should. Oh, my gosh. What a... Oh, my gosh.
I call that one the Santa Streaker.
Well, you talked a little bit about this, but one of the things that Santa School is teaching patience. I would guess that Santa Clauses, by and large, are some of the most thoughtful, like, let's hear everybody out sort of people, because you have to be to deal with just the wave of humanity that comes at you every year.
Yes, I that's really how I became Santa, was watching the Santa Chris at Quail Springs Mall 25 years ago. My wife loved to shop, and I loved her, so I would go with her. But after about an hour, my endurance would wane, and I just needed to watch people and wish her well while she finished her shopping. So she gave me permission to take a break after about an hour, and it was Christmas season, and the Santa was in place. And so I sat on the second level and looked down. I did not look like Santa then. I had a salt and pepper business haircut and business trim beard. But I watched this guy that first day, and he was so attentive to every single child. Nobody else existed in the world for him except that one child. And he would embrace them with his eyes and his gentleness. I couldn't hear a word he was saying, but I could see that he was making this very personal connection with each child one at a time. And it was drawing the child in. Normally, you get a lot of children who are apprehensive. The little ones, I think it's a natural alarm system that God puts in them for separation. So, you know, anywhere from 12 to 24 months, there's a lot of concern about being separated from their parents. But the older children who are 4, 5, 6, 7, a lot of them are fearful, uncertain.
Yeah.
And this guy didn't seem to get that kind of reaction from most of the children he was dealing with. So I went back that season four times.
Wow.
And spent an hour or two watching him. After the third year, I wanted to be Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple more years went by. I never spoke with him. I never interrupted him, but I continued to admire him. And that fifth year, it was a couple weeks before Christmas, I was down on his level behind him, sort of standing to the side so I could see the children's faces. And he took a break, and when he stood up for the break, he normally would go to the right and turn towards the sunglasses hut. There's a doorway into the bowels of the mall right next to it, where he would take his break. But instead of turning right, he turned left, and he started toward me, and I was like a kid, Santa, Santa's coming. Oh my gosh, he's coming to see me, talk to me. So I extended my hand, and he shook my hand, and I said, Santa, I love watching you work. And he said, yes, I've noticed. I said, I guess you think I'm a Santa stalker. He said, no. He said, have you ever thought about doing this? And that was the invitation that I needed to say, I really would love to. I have no idea how to do it. So he got me connected to an audition with Naturally Santa's Inc., which was the group that I got trained by and signed a contract with.
Wow.
For a three-year representational contract. And they are the ones who got me placed at that mall.
Wow.
So in training, they focused on that patience and kindness and who the persona of Santa is and should be. And they told a horror story of a good Santa that had been with him for a couple of years. And he was assigned to I think it was Paramus, New Jersey, a big, like, three-level mall in a deep urban setting. And they had trouble with their photo equipment. It kept breaking down, which meant that the lines were longer and people's patience was shorter. and it was very close to Christmas, just maybe less than a week, maybe 4 or 5 days. And the tension built up around that, and some angry customers started verbally taunting the photo crew, and this went on for an hour or so because the thing broke down several times in a couple hour period. And finally, I guess there was such anger expressed that the photo crew was defensive and a little bit on edge, and some of these angry folks were up on the second and third tiers, and they threw their Coca-Colas down on the set, and one hit right near Santa's feet, and he lost it. He just forgot who he was and got up and started screaming at them, and security was coming. And he was throwing things back up at them. And after the moment of mindless rage, he realized, oh my word, what have I done? He left the set. He immediately called Naturally Santa's leadership. mm-hmm. told them what he had done. Well, there was no way that he could go back. And it was there was no way to get another Santa there. And he lost his contract.
Wow.
So it is the preeminent characteristic that we maintain.
Yeah.
And so Santa lets somebody else fight for him. Santa, if necessary, just walks away and leaves the dust to land on other people.
I kind of like the idea of Santa having Secret Service.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
With little elf pins, you know.
Right. And obviously the holidays are a really busy time for you. Like right now is pretty crazy.
Yes.
What's a day like for you this time of year?
Well, I'll tell you about a busy day, and these aren't every day, but mm-hmm. these are maybe a third to a half of the days that I live for about a month or 5 weeks. Starts off slow a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, and we do photos, and I get up. I'm an early riser generally, so I'm awake by 5:30 or 6. I personally have a prayer meditation time, and then get cleaned up, get my Santa clothes on, and if I have an early gig, it's usually at a school, and I'll go and do my Santa thing, depending on the school. There's one school that wants me to be St. Nicholas on St. Nicholas's feast day, which is December the 6th every year, so I go to that school, and in effect, I'm wearing a bishop's mitre, and I look more bishop-like rather than Santa-like. So we take pictures with each of the kids or the groups of children or whatever, and then I head over to North Pole City. We start weekdays at 11, so I tell the story of the very first Christmas to the assembled children and parents and grandparents at that time. And then we start photos and our conversations with children. Have a break in the middle of the afternoon for lunch, and then finish around 6, or a few days 7, but mostly 6. And then I may have a gig afterwards, either a private visit to someone's home or again maybe a corporate party. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. With the book, I've also had book signings. I've had about 5 book signings, and those have been fun. On a couple of them, I've been able to read a few stories, and that seems to prompt some great questions from folks. And
I bet.
I'll generally eat very poorly. for supper, some fast food thing too late, you know, in the evening, and that probably disturbs my sleep. It takes me an hour or so to really decompress, to unwind,
because
it's been a wonderful day usually, a tiring, exhausting day, mostly because what I do more than anything else is listen. I listen very, very carefully, and I try to emulate Santa Chris in terms of just making every single child feel really, really important. So, and then I have a lot of great conversations with children of all ages. You know, the little ones obviously aren't going to have too much, but when they're getting to be 4 and 5 and 6, they're amazing. Their imaginations are marvelous, and they come up with such wonderful kinds of insights. So I have a lot of repartee, I kid a lot, and I make up stuff a lot, and I use double meanings a lot. And I've developed, you know, my shtick, if you will, has developed over these 20-some years.
That's what I was telling them. I should say for our listeners, Dan, I know you a little bit in life. We have a bunch of friends in common. And I was telling these guys yesterday that last time I saw you was at a 7-year-old's birthday party in September. And we're sitting in the living room, and one little girl who was at the party comes up, and she's kind of glaring at you, and she's kind of got her eyes squinted, and she goes, "I don't believe that you're really Santa." and you had the most beautiful response to her. Do you remember that?
I remember the event. What did I tell her?
You said something like, well, that's okay. You don't have to really believe I'm Santa, but, you know, you just had this whole great speech with, like, you just totally, you accepted her right where she was, and it was a really cool moment.
Yeah, and that's so important to me. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, and that was in a room full of, what, 20 other little
girls? Yeah, there was a whole pack of them. Yeah, it was crazy.
So what was on the line there was ruining 20 children's.
I know, yeah. But it was a cool, because it was something that you'd thought about, you didn't just have a script, you had a real connection, a real moment of connection with her. That was really cool.
Thank you.
Because you look like Santa all year long.
That's true.
Yeah. Yes. Do you get this all year?
I do.
People? Yeah.
I love it. I usually carry my Santa cards that say Santa loves you on them.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And I have naughty and nice, and I check nice on all the cards. I do get some children who look at me like, well, do you have any naughty cards? I said, yes, but not very many. You're on the nice list. I tell kids how to get off the naughty list.
Oh.
That's another unusual thing. My Santa point of view is very different from the 19th century Industrial Revolution kind of pragmatic mindset, which was, if you are being rewarded, that must prove that you're good.
Right.
And this whole naughty and nice thing happened in that period of time. Mm-hmm. It really came out of a sort of a religious sort of bent of judgment and being right and doing right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe we're all sort of created with the good stuff, and we're all human, and we all make mistakes. So. When I see a child coming before me who is clearly apprehensive about their status with Santa,
mm-hmm.
If they've asked two or three times, am I on the nice list, am I on the naughty list? I had one little boy on Sunday. I was at a church in Moore Community Church, and he could not stop asking me. Because clearly he had been pounded with that, and he was so fearful.
Mm.
And I had to reassure him many, many times that he was on the nice list. And I told him this. I said, I'm going to tell you how to get off the naughty list, because nobody is perfect, not even Santa. I have a bad day once in a while. I am... sometimes a little bit impatient with people, or I say something that hurts their feelings. So here's what we have to do. You have to say, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do it again. Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I snap my fingers and say, and then I forget about it just that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you do that, you don't have to walk around worrying about being on the naughty list, because you're eventually going to be on the nice list most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to relieve most of them.
That's awesome.
Well, and if they're so concerned about being on the nice list, then they're probably pretty good kids.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I think most kids are.
I mean, who didn't pour buttermilk into mom's nice shoes every once in a while?
Who didn't take a tiny tube of Neosporin and one of those electronic clock faces and just outline all the numbers in Neosporin for no good reason?
No, you're on the naughty list forever.
Buddy, you have no idea.
You're on the weird list, man.
Oh,
that's
No. Though I was on the weird list when my dad came home. I guess he had brought home some Post-it notes from the office, and for no reason that I can give you, I thought it was hilarious to write the word squid on each one and then post it all over the house as if people were coming into a museum and didn't know what a squid was and everything was a squid. Yeah.
Okay.
Strong view.
And that was just last week. So
there's another story for your book, Dan. Yeah,
really?
So one way to get on the nice list is to get Dan's book, The Santa Claus Chronicles. It's available wherever books are sold, Amazon,
right.
Barnes & Noble, Best of Books here in Edmond. For example, anywhere you get books, you can get a copy of this wonderful book. Thank you so much, Dan. And you can go see Dan at North Pole City.
Come and see me at North Pole City.
Yeah.
We have books there, and I'll sign it for you
and
personalize it if you wish.
That's awesome. And if you've never been to North Pole City, we should just say listeners.
Oh,
it's a magical experience all to itself. You must go.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a great lover of Christmas. Like
nothing will get
us,
you in the spirit.
Nothing.
Like that.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dan.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Not just North Pole City, but lots of things around the state that we are excited about.
This week, Choo Choo's Carols and Cookies 2 at the Oklahoma State University Botanic Gardens, where all your childhood desires are covered with the free holiday cookies and trains. The garden will be decked out with seasonal decor. There will be plenty of decadent snacks to go around. Also going around will be the G-scale musical train, which will add its familiar tune to the familiar melodies playing throughout the evening. Cookies, hot cocoa, coffee, and a crackling campfire with the night cozy no matter how hard Jack Frost tries nipping at your nose.
Wow.
That was
you packed a lot of Christmas into that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
December 18th through 24th, Chapman Adventure Playground is all aglow in preparation for the free Winter Wonderland at the Gathering Place. This is at Gathering Place in Tulsa, which is one of our favorite spots. The Imaginaries will take to the Gather Round stage on Wednesday night to kick off the season of Winter Wonderland festivities. The Wonderland will feature strolling carolers, festive treats, holiday drinks, nightly performances, and a very festive locomotive. Catch Santa posing for pictures by the fireplace, but keep an eye out for appearances by the Snow King and Queen, the Coca-Cola Bears, and the whole cast of Gathering Place characters.
December 19th, you can dash through the streets on a two-wheeled sleigh of sorts on Ride OKC's annual Holiday Light Ride. Bike through the lights on Automobile Alley and in Heritage Hills as you listen to a slew of holiday classics. Katie Bug's legendary hot cocoa will be provided to keep cyclists toasty, and local guides will make the trek an easy, enjoyable experience. Riders can also keep their hearts warm on the nighttime circuit, knowing that $5 of every ticket sold will benefit a local charity. The ride will last roughly an hour and a half, but the merry sensation in parts could last all season long. Tickets are $20. Visit rideokc.com for more.
That sounds like a good way to keep the holiday expansion, we'll call it, under control. December 20th, if you're sick of hearing Kenny G Christmas ballads on every holiday errand, okay, look,
no.
I will not hear this bashing of Kenny G on this podcast. If you were looking for a short break in between Kenny G Christmas ballads on every holiday errand, try out a much more lively mix of music and merchandise with the deli's live music and pop-up shop with Carter Sampson and Allie Harder. The deli obviously is Norman's most beloved dive bar, and they'll have some memorable tunes, dirty jokes, and breezy last-minute shopping. Carter and Allie will be singing originals and slinging a variety of handmade items, vintage apparel, music merch, and other goodies. Attendees are invited to shop throughout the set with no cover charge. Molly Jean and the Gasoline will then take the stage at 9 p.m. with a $5 cover. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. On December 21st, this winter, Enid is bringing a few special songbirds home for the holidays. A hometown Christmas concert will host a talented cast of Enid natives at the Chisholm Trail Expo Center. Leona Mitchell, a Grammy Award winner and resident soprano with the Metropolitan Opera, will return to her roots for a special holiday concert. Enid native Kathy Nulf will perform with the Bringing It Back Band, and a special hometown guest will give a surprise performance. Hearty hors d'oeuvres and drinks are included with reserved floor seating, but Leona Mitchell's memorable soprano is guaranteed to reach every seat in the house. Tickets are between $25 and $35. Visit ChisholmTrailExpo.com for more.
That's a good deal for getting to see Leona Mitchell. She's great.
Right.
Also December 21st, you know what they say, the best winter solstice celebrations involve tree costumes and nighttime parades. Did they say that?
You know what, they say all sorts of things. You can find
they say a lot
anything
of things.
Can
okay.
be said by
yeah.
a they.
This is in Oklahoma City, where Factory Obscura's March of the Trees invites anyone with a flair for mysticism and or forestry, or both, to put on their best tree attire and join in a lighted march through Automobile Alley. This is going to be fun. Participants can craft any tree costume they wish, so long as it enables a spirit of personal growth and peace with one's past. Oh, that's nice. After the march, tree people are welcome to return to the factory for warm beverages, live music, and access to the entire mixtape experience. Tree you there.
December 21st, again, Elk City is cooking up a country fried Christmas special the whole family will enjoy. Devin Dawson brings Jessie the Cowgirl to life, transporting the yodeling Spitfire from the Toy Story screen to the live stage with Jessie and the Outlaws Holiday Ho 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 Down. We'll light up the Pioneer Performing Arts Center with swinging holiday tunes and cowgirl camaraderie. The show is geared toward old and new fans of the Disney classic because imagination has no expiration date. Tickets are $6.
Good times. So much going on this time of year. So much fun to be had.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Please rate and review us online on any of your various apps. We know our Deezer Geezers are out there. They love the podcast.
Oh, Deezer.
Deezer Geezers.
Last night. Google Play, Spotify, iTunes.
Yep. Every
Deezer
one of them.
Deezer is the most important.
if you have any questions or comments for us, you can send those to oktpod@travelok.com. And please visit oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of our magazine. Subscribe now to make sure you get the Oklahoma City issue.
It's going to be a good one.
Thanks all of you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
And thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas.
Merry
Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I was so hoping we'd get a good ho, ho, ho before the end. Thank you all so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!